Welcome to the Best of Women's Fiction podcast. I'm Lainey Cameron, and in this podcast, I interview authors I admire. If you enjoy the podcast, I'd love if you subscribed and gave it some stars. This episode's guest is award-winning author Sarah Lynn Brook. We chat about her just-released novel, Daytime Drama, where her inspiration came from, why she decided to write the novel from multiple points of view, and she has some great books to recommend from Philadelphia-based authors. Today I'm here with Sarah Lynn Brook, and I'm so excited because it's the release week for her newest novel, Daytime Drama. Thanks for joining me.
Thanks for having me. I'm so happy to talk to you.
So where are you? Where are you joining me from today?
I am in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania.
And we were just comparing notes that I think it's pretty cold where you are and it's 80 degrees. I'm sorry where I am right now in Mexico.
I'm very jealous.
I know. I'm like apologizing perpetually to people for mentioning the weather right now. So tell me about the new book. I know the reviews on this are great. We're going to talk about that. The reviews on your last one were fabulous. And I believe your debut, your last novel, was an award winner, right?
It was. It won two awards, an indie award, and then also a 35 over 35 award. And that's for debut authors who are over the age of 35.
So, well, I've read this one.
Over 35.
I've read this and it's just as good. And we'll talk a little bit about my perception and the reviews in a second. But tell us a bit about Daytime Drama. Tell us about the book.
Sure. Daytime Drama centers on Calliope Hart. She is a veteran soap opera actress, and she is just learned that she has just lost her job, basically. Her soap opera, just like many soap operas these days, have been canceled. So she is at a crossroads. She's got to figure out what she's going to do. Is she going to fight to save the show? Is she going to try something new? And in the meantime, she's got a lot of responsibilities on her plate. So she's a single mom to a tween son. She's also supporting her mother, and she's also being blackmailed by her ex.
And you know, one of the things I loved about this book is it's easy, I compare to the writer world, it's easy to think of Hollywood stars as being, they have everything and they live in mansions and they don't worry about anything. Kind of like it is with best-selling authors, right? Oh, that person's a USA Today bestseller. They must be rolling in cash. Welcome to not reality. But like, I felt the same way about this book. It was lovely because here you've got this, you know, famous Hollywood star on a soap opera, but she's struggling with the same stuff we all are, how to pay the bills, how to deal with a nasty ex, how to bring up her teenage son. And it makes her so relatable. It was a really clever thing you did there.
Thank you. I was hoping, and actually it was sort of, it was funny, a friend of ours, some friends of ours had bought a house in the Valley, and they said, and their house was nice, but it was just, you know, a regular house for people who were middle income, you know, they weren't fancy people or anything like that. And they said, yeah, our next door neighbor is a soap opera actress. And I thought, huh, really? They're not living in a gated mansion somewhere in, you know, Bel Air. So I just thought that was one thing that kind of got the ball rolling. I thought these, you know, people are just, you know, in a lot of ways, just like Us Magazine says, just like you and me.
Just like you and me. Well, let's take a peek at a blurb here because this book already has some fabulous reviews. And this one's from Jennifer Klepper, who's the USA Today bestselling author of Unbroken Threads, another fabulous book. And yes. I love the words she pulls out here with heart, humor, and the right dose of drama. Sarah Lynn Brook brings her characteristic insight and literary precision to this story of braving the world outside your comfort zone. Loved every minute. And I'll tell you that I took a quick peek at your Goodreads reviews because the book's already out there on Goodreads. And some of the words that are coming up, compelling, entertaining, great storytelling. So there you go.
That's nice.
And I loved it because I felt like you immersed me in the world of Hollywood, like with this proviso that it's not, you know, the unrelatable star. It was almost like I felt like I was reading a Jackie Collins novel, but with a more relatable protagonist.
That's a really great way to put it. Yeah, I was hoping that people would be able to relate to her. And I was fascinated with, like a lot of us, fascinated with that world. And it's very different from mine. But it's, you know, they're just people, you know, they're people just like you and me. And so it was really, you know, they go to Target, they have to pick up prescriptions, they have to go to PTA meetings, you know, it's really is in a lot of ways there are a lot of parallels.
Yeah. And did the book, so you shared a little bit of your inspiration that you had this, you know, a friend's neighbor who was a soap star. Did the book change a lot from that edition, that original spark, that idea to the final version? Like were there a lot of changes as it evolved and got edited?
Oh my God. Yes. One of my worst writing habits is too much backstory. And I know that a lot of the writers that you interview, I feel like I'm not the only one who has trouble with backstory, but I definitely, I tend to put in a lot of what's called info dumping. And it's really there more for me than it is for anybody else. And I had some scenes that I really loved that really kind of explained. I had one scene actually in particular that explained the relationship between Callie and her ex, how she told him that she was pregnant and how that whole, you know, that whole setup went along. And ultimately I had to take it out because it just didn't push the story forward. It wasn't serving the story. And so, you know, we have to make those painful cuts sometimes, but I have to do it probably more than others because I'm terrible with backstory.
Well, you did something clever with this book, which is it's told from multiple points of view. And I've heard that, I learned this with my first book, that apparently you need more length in order to service more points of view. And I only had two. And I think you have, what, four in this? So like...
Okay. Yeah, five. I have a lot of points of view.
You have a few, right? So how did you make that choice to tell it from different points of view like that? It's interesting, right? It's not the easiest choice. It makes it harder, I think, when you're telling multiple points of view, but like what led you there?
Well, it was fun to actually be able to get into the minds of the characters. It was almost selfish, I feel, because I loved Callie, but I also loved her mom and I loved her son, Jonah. And Paul, I felt like we needed to hear from him. And then, you know, it's one of those decisions that I know sometimes it's harder, but it was almost hard for me to resist because it was so much fun kind of getting into their skin for a little bit.
I think it worked really well. It had me rooting for all of them, right? So like, it's easy to root for the main protagonist in a book, but I think because you told the story from the point of view of the son, the teenage son, and also the mother of the protagonist and also the boyfriend of the protagonist, like I felt like I was rooting for them all, which was interesting because at some points they were in conflict. And so you were kind of, as the reader, you were like, no, I want it to work out for mom and Jonah, but no, I want it to work out for her too. So it was very cleverly done.
Oh, thank you.
So while we're talking points of view and decisions, any writing advice you would give to folks who are maybe a few steps back? You know, this is your second novel. The first one had so much acclaim. You're already getting great reviews on this one. Like, what do you advise people?
You know, I teach writing also. And what I tell my creative writing students who are frustrated that they're not producing the type of content that they want to read is I was reminded of a quote, Ira Glass, you know, the NPR radio guy. And he said that often our taste is up here and our ability is down here when we're just beginning. And it can be really feel so defeating. You know, it can be so discouraging to feel like you're not writing to your taste. And it just takes a long time to be able to do that. So any advice that I give to new writers is just you got to keep going, keep at it. Eventually your ability will catch up to your taste.
Yeah, I think the other thing totally related to that I've learned because I'm working on my second book is I'm being a lot easier with myself if it's not okay yet. Like I'm much better this time around at going, okay, that paragraph's going to be better by the time this book sees the world. It's not right yet, but I'm going to still move on and keep going and not get stuck in it for 5 days because maybe today is not the day to solve that. And maybe it won't even be in the final book and I'll spend 2 days fixing a paragraph that didn't even matter.
Yeah, that's such good advice too. Yeah, absolutely. I absolutely believe that.
So talking reading, have you read anything good recently? What would you recommend?
Yes, I read all the time, and it was hard for me to make this decision because there's just so many good books out there. So I thought, you know, maybe I'll narrow it down to Philly authors. And one book I just got finished, and I read it so fast. I almost regret how fast I read it because I didn't get to savor it as much as I wanted to. Was Such a Fun Age by Kylie Reid. She's a Philly author. This is her debut novel. It takes place in Philadelphia. Another one of my favorite authors is Elizabeth Laban. She's a women's fiction author. She has so many great books. She's such a wonderful writer, and they all take place in the city, which is so much fun. And another, we know Kelly Simmons. She's fantastic. Her books take place in the Main Line, so they're just outside of the city. And her books are fantastic. I've not read this one just yet, but I've read a bunch of her others. And it's funny, her books are really deep and dark and just delicious, but she's such a warm, nice human being. It's really funny that when somebody writes something that's so dark and they're such a nice person, you know?
That's true of a lot of thriller writers. Like I'm a big fan of Kimberly Bell, and she's the loveliest person, but she writes some beautiful twisty thriller on the edge of your seat, right? Like, yeah. So I want to talk about how people can connect with you, but anything we haven't talked about yet that you wanted to make sure you mentioned today?
I wanted to tell you how much I love the exit strategy.
Oh, you're sweet.
I loved it. I love a book as much as I love reading books that are set in Philadelphia. It was really fun to read a book that was set in my hometown. So, anyway, I loved it. Thank you for that.
Thank you. And let me show folks how they can connect with you if they want to follow you. And like we said, the new one, Daytime Drama, is out now this week. You can buy it and read it today. And you are at Sarah Lynn Bruck on Instagram and SarahLynnBruck.com, which has all your other social medias up there. Well, this has been fun. Thank you for taking the time to join me today. I've wanted to have you on for ages.
Thank you so much. This is really fun. I hope I can come back if I have another book out.
I haven't started reinviting people, but we're going to get there pretty soon, I think.
I think so. This has been a treat. Thank you so much.
Thanks so much. Take care. If you'd like to see the video version of this interview and many others, visit bestofwomensfiction.com or follow me, Lainey Cameron, on Instagram, where I share these interviews weekly. You can also subscribe right here to the podcast.